All right, without further ado, this guy that's going to be bringing us the word today has been part of Shalom ever since the inception of it. And he's a great guy, and he's shared his life with many people, but he's shared his life with a lot of guys that have done it hard, and he knows it. He's travelled their road. But this guy inspired me just this morning, just talking to him in the office. He's a humble man. And his name's Damien G. I just want you to give him a nice warm hillside welcome. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How you going, everybody? Thank you very much for having me. Thank you, Pastor Kerry. How was that, eh? The children being dedicated unto the Lord. That scripture, what he talked about, where it refers to that children need to honour their mother and father. Us parents, that actually lies with us. Up until they're around 13, 14, 15. Because they will not honour us unless we are deserving of it. It just will not happen. We can force our opinion on them. We can show them and read them that scripture until the cows come home. But it will do nothing if we do not prove to them through our actions, through our spending time with them, through our teaching them the word correctly, through us not being hypocrites. It actually falls on us. It actually falls on us. If the word of God is not taught correctly, it can be so damaging. If we just take a scripture and we do not teach it properly, it can be very, very detrimental to everybody, including ourselves. Including ourselves. I remember when my daughter was about, and I'm a father of two. Yeah, I'm just seeing the kids up here. I've actually got a three-month-old. And to all you mothers, you know, I get it easy when I go to work. Honestly, when I walk out that door, I'm like, phew. Like, I'm telling you, it is 10 times harder looking after a child than going to work. And us fathers have to realise that. We really... Now, I'm actually praising my woman up at the moment. I'm like, your job? That's so hard. Us men, we can't do two things at once. When we got that little child in our hands, it's just like, I have to devote myself to this child. And I've actually got myself in a bit of a pickle. And people are starting to recognise it because as soon as I get my little girl, I entertain her. And so she's picked up. If I grizzle, Dad will entertain me. And Dad will dance and Dad will sing and Dad will act like a monkey and Dad runs like an elephant and rah de rah de rah de rah de rah, all these sort of things. And I had it for 4 hours the other day and I honestly had to dance and sing the whole time. I am not lying. I was exhausted afterwards because every single time I stopped, shortly after, she would start to grizzle. So I would have to dance and sing and do all these sort of animal sounds and hold her and rock her and this and that. And yeah, so I take my hat off to you women or stay-at-home fathers or whatever. You do a wonderful job, an absolutely wonderful job. Another thing I want to touch base on, home on in regards to the children and so forth is one of the greatest lessons I learnt with my 12-year-old daughter is to always be honest and transparent about our walk in the Lord. Never pretend to love him any more than you do. Never pretend to trust him any more than you do. Own your struggles. Talk about your struggles. Always be willing to apologise. Always apologise. I remember when my daughter was about 5 or 6 or something like that, and she came to me and she said, She was a very strong believer before that, and she's a very strong believer now. But she went through some stuff, which we all do, and she came to me and she said, Daddy, she said, I'm struggling to believe. She said, I don't know if God's really there. And I looked at her, and I had a choice right there and then to say, darling, you got to believe. The Bible says, rah 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 rah. Or, right, I can be honest with her and say, darling, I go through that too. I know what you're talking about. And that's what I'd done. And what I seen on her face changed my whole life. I seen her face say, Daddy, you get that too? You get that too? I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one who gets doubts. Daddy, you're being transparent to me. Daddy, you're owning your stuff. Daddy, you're being intimate with me. And therefore, that created my daughter who doesn't have to hide anything from me, who can come to me, who feels comfortable to come to me, who can come to me about anything she's thinking about God and know that I will not look at her in an unusual, odd, or out of fashion way. And I have a very deep relationship with my daughter. I go out of my way to make sure every time she comes to me, if it's something bad she's done and she's coming to tell me, she never gets in trouble. It's just talked about, because that is the ultimate goal of us as parents. We need children who can come to us about anything. Anything. And they can get a healthy discussion. They can get a transparent discussion. And here, if you are Jesus and you've never had no doubts or never had no worries or anything like that, then try to relate to them. Just try. Otherwise, you run the risk of losing your children when they get to their teenage years, because I've seen so many children turn away from the Lord because they just didn't get it. And they didn't get it because they were told to be a certain way, but they weren't taught how and what goes on when you are a Christian and what you go through. We don't all have to be strong Christians. Because let's face it, we're not. How do we judge that? How do we weigh that up? Because there's many tests we can do, and we are called to test things. And there's many tests we can look at ourselves, etc., etc., to work out where we're really at. But the ultimate key, and this is as I'd lead you into this, the ultimate key is knowing that God accepts us, that he will never give up on us, that he sees us for who we are, that he will not leave us, that he will not abandon us, that he is 100% for us. Without a shadow of a doubt. As I am for my children, God is for me, but 10 times more. He's just so... What he's actually done, I'm going to give my son to you, and Jesus... That was part of Jesus' will. And he's put the most strongest seal, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which Jesus agreed with and wanted to do and went through with it. And by that seal, we are protected in our sonship. We're protected. Not because of me, but because of him. My security is based off him. My security is not based off me. If I am born again and I've received the Holy Spirit, I am in him. I am in him. That is so secure. We have to get that. We have to get how secure we are. Can I get my daughter and say, you're no more my daughter? No. And I personally believe that the Father has made it like that with us. Being real with God. Being real with God is one of the most liberating and satisfying and most intimate prayer lives you will ever have if you go to that place. We need to be able to go to that place in a healthy way. And what I mean by that is when we sift through what's actually going on in here, we don't allow condemnation, fear, guilt, shame, anxiety, etc., etc. in. But we go to that place in our prayer closet or during the day between us and the Lord. And we look at where we're really at. Do I really even love people? How much do I really trust God? How much do I really believe? And when you go to this place, you need to actually go there. Because I've noticed when I try to go there, I go to a place and I'm like, oh, I'm starting to see stuff I don't really want to look at. And I can shut the door and pretend it's not there. But it is there. And the Word of God says that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. So if I want to align myself with the Word of God, and if that's how the Word of God sees me, then I need to make sure I'm seeing myself correctly. The Word of God also says, I'm loved, I'm secure, I'm saved, I have Him in me who is greater than He in the world. It says many wonderful, wonderful things. So yes, that is a part of it. But I'm taking us in a direction this morning of intimacy in prayer. And we quite often hear that word and we say, what is intimacy? That just sounds so stupid. It just sounds so silly. What intimacy? Especially new believers, they're just like, you talk to them, they're like, it just sounds weird. Intimacy with God is connecting with God in a way that no one else really knows. It really is. Maybe your loved one and maybe, you know, your small group and so forth. But we need to really ask ourselves, how much do I really trust God? And the evidence of that is in our prayer life. If we pray about something and yet we still worry about it, what does it tell you? We don't need to hide it. God sees it anyway. God sees that. He's just saying, son, be real with me. Be real with me. Don't hide it. Don't be scared. Tell me you don't trust me. He loves it like that. I used to be this, you know, go get it Christian, and people would look at me and think, oh, look at him, he must just trust God. But I was in the gym one day and I'm adding it up because I like to question things. I question everything in a healthy way, you know, question this and that and, you know, look it up and look up what these people say and them people say and look into it, but in a healthy way. I used to do it out of compulsion. I used to do it out of this agitation, but I've learnt to do it out of just working through, looking at, calm, peaceful. It's all good. God accepts me. God loves me, so it's okay. And it's very rewarding, actually. So I started, anyway, I was in the gym, and I seen it. God shown me. I don't trust him. And then I got this impression, tell God you don't trust him. I thought, but I do trust God. I'm not telling him that. I honestly felt that. I'm not telling him that. That feels bad to say that I don't trust God. But then it hit me. I don't trust him because why am I so full of worry, concern? Why am I praying yet worrying about the things I'm praying about? The evidence is in the pudding. The evidence is in the pudding. Fact. We can make our excuses up and make this up and make that up, but no, it's not. And I said, God, I don't trust you. And then I felt like something just dropped off me. And then I felt like he said to me, I didn't hear him, but I know he said it to me because he speaks to me through words, through a way that I understand but I don't hear. I just know what he's saying. And it was, and that's where I've been trying to get you. And that's where I've been trying to get you. And that just catapulted from there. being real with God, intimacy with God, connecting with God, discussing things with God about what's really going on in here. And we need to go to this place. But it will take time, diligence, and effort. When you silence your mind, your will, your emotions, and you start questioning this stuff in a healthy way, you will see stuff come up. Share it with him. You will see really yucky stuff come up. I seen something one time where I actually despised God. And man, it felt good to tell him. But if I hadn't gone to that place, I wouldn't see it. Many things have come up over my prayer life with him that have been hard, but it's brought us together. It's brought us together. Because I can have all this positive speak. I can declare the scripture all I want, and that is wonderful. That is so needed. But there's also another thing that's needed, and that's being real and open and transparent with the Lord about what's going on in here. Then the key is, how do we change that what's in here? Because we must remember God cares about who we become. Finish. That's final. That is the most important thing. God cares about who you become. He cares about who you become. We must get that in here. Don't even look about what I'm doing. Because I can do all this stuff out of selfish ambition. I can do all this stuff out of pride. I can do all this stuff out of me. I could be up here now doing this out of me and you wouldn't even know. Just facing the fact. So when we see this stuff, what I've learnt in myself is, how do I get this stuff to change in here? How do I get this stuff to change in here? And what I've learnt, and you need to find your own way. I'm not saying this is your way. But what I've learnt with me, what I do, is if I see something where my motives are wrong, or I've got selfish ambition, or various different things, ego, I've seen all sorts of stuff, I will just be like, Lord, I see that I don't trust you, or I've got this in my life, and I cannot change that in me. I, Damien G, cannot change that because I can't. We have to acknowledge that. We cannot change our interior. We can't do it. But someone can. And that is his job. And his name is the Spirit of God. And what he wants to do is grow us into who? So therefore, when we come to him, and we see something, and we're in our prayer line, and we say, I see that, I acknowledge that, I don't like that, and I know that you still accept me and love me. You actually pours his love out on you when you're actually raw with him. You feel it. You say, but Spirit of God, I give this to you to change. Right there. I give this to you to change, or God, or Jesus, wherever you're at. Doesn't really matter. Can you please change this in me according to your will, your timing, and your way? Finished! The burden and acknowledging that I can't see that, change that, I've just given to him, which is the correct thing to do. One, I'm acknowledging my need of him. Two, I'm openly willing declaring him as Lord and Master over my life, because he is the one who can change something that I can't. Instantly, what I've noticed is confidence. As soon as I say I give this to him, when you know him, confidence just comes. Because you know what he's like. Doesn't mean that he's going to change you that day, you know. But it does mean, especially as you continue to trust in him with that, Does it mean you don't visit that place again? No, you will visit it often. But you will see steady growth. You will turn around and go, I'm not getting as many doubts as I used to. I'm trusting God more. And when I told him I don't love people, because we all get that as Christians, we know we're meant to love people. Well, let's just be real. The Bible says to love people. And if we're actually not taught properly or we don't read the scriptures properly, we'll just say we love them because the Bible says to. But often when we look in here, we think, I don't even love them. I'm just doing it because I have to. That's a good place to be. That's such a good place, liberating place to be, to acknowledge our inner core like that. But then we can say, God, help me. Help me to love others. Help me to love them. And once again, to see how much we actually love people, look at what you do for people and how you feel about it in here. Look how you feel about it in here. It's really good. Really, really good. Very much needed. Our need of God. Our absolute need of God. Who can relate to some of this stuff I'm talking to? Like, seriously, who can relate to some of it? And it's like, what is going on? I'm in love with Jesus. I know it's the way. I know it's the right way. But I'm just not satisfied. But I just feel agitated. But I just don't want to tell people about Jesus. Or if I do, I do it out of anxiety. Or I do it out of this compulsion, agitation, or this voice in my head saying, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And then if you don't, you walk away feeling like crap. I know you all relate to me. I know it. It's just the fact. So we need to go back and say, how do we get to that place of being able to talk about Jesus comfortably? Comfortably. I said to God, God, I'm not telling anyone about you. I want it changed. Not telling no one. And I did. And it actually, I'm not saying that's the right way. I'm not saying that's the right way. But it got so bad in my life that every person I come to, I'd get this thought, tell them about Jesus, tell them about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. It was horrible. It was really horrible. It was like this voice in my head just tapping on me. Tap, 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 tap. And then I wouldn't, and then I'd feel terrible. And I had to recalibrate myself and say, hang on, hang on, what's going on here? Something's not right. Something's not right. What's God wanting? What does God want? And I love to come back to logic. So logic says that God cares about me. He's accepted me. He loves me. He's brought me into the family. He cares about who I become. So if he cares about who I become, especially as a new little Christian, right, I have to work on that. So I have to say, okay, I'm just concentrating on my relationship with God. That's all I'm going to do. I wouldn't deny that I'm a Christian. I'd talk about it. But I wouldn't feel that compulsion and that agitation to have to always share. And it freed me up to deal with God transforming me into who he wants me to become and preparing me to be a disciple and preparing me to be someone who can be a witness unto the Lord in many years to come. Getting my motives right. Allowing me to talk about Jesus out of complete peace. Not out of agitation or anxiety. Helping me to deal with that thought in my head that made me feel bad afterwards. If I didn't. being able to go to God in our intimacy, in our quiet time, and talk about what's really going on. Sometimes I think he allows us to go through that because what he wants is for us to bring it to him. Because all of this stuff I'm telling you about, he didn't just take away. He left open to connect me to him through intimacy, to have something to bring to him, like my daughter had something to bring to me. Like my daughter had something to bring to me, which opened up such a strong relationship. And it taught me how to relate to my little girl. So now when she gets into her teenage years, she'll be able to come to Dad and talk about anything with me. And God wants that with us. God craves that for us. He craves it. But it will take dedication to go to these places. It takes dedication, and you will enjoy it. You will totally, totally enjoy it. That's how we deal with ourselves in here. That's how I deal with myself in here and changing myself. Declaring scripture is also wonderful. It is powerful. It is effective. But when we only declare scripture and we're not dealing with stuff in here, I found when I used to do that, I just didn't feel right, or it was like it was only a band-aid. And I would declare scripture and the thoughts would go, and I'd declare scripture and I'd be right for 2 hours. That's what was happening to me. Or three. Sometimes a day, actually. And that is much needed. I'm not speaking against that. We need to do that. But if we don't combine the two, or maybe there's more, it won't last. Some people can declare scripture. It seems to change them in here. I don't know. I'm not saying this is exactly the right way. I'm just speaking out of what I know. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. We need to go to these places. Whoever does something like over and over again and it just becomes, and you think, this isn't real, it's becoming ritualistic, you know. I used to have one and it was like I had to get up of a morning and I had to say, Good morning, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And I'd done it for a long time. And I started to get this thought, this isn't real. But no, I was denying it, and I was denying it, and I was denying it. And then I had to actually acknowledge that, no, this thing that I'm doing of a morning, I have to stop. And God, this is the great thing, God actually wanted me to stop it. God wanted me to stop it. Why? Because it had become unsincere and ungenuine. It had become a have to and a necessity to feel right instead of just an overflow. Look at yourselves in anything that's coming up. When you see that, you'll see it. You will see it. You will know. You're going, that doesn't feel right. Oh, but it's for God. It's for him. It's got to be meaning something. No, challenge yourself to pull back from that and pull back from it. This is very important. What sort of Christian do you want to be? Do you feel satisfied? Do you feel satisfied? Don't be too scared to say, no, I don't, I'm not satisfied. Don't be too scared to say that. Don't be too scared to say that. It is one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do as a Christian. One of the most rewarding things. You know, God just loves us so much. He's got such a plan for us. He's got such a purpose for us. And he wants to walk with us as we do our children. You think about Jesus, right? You think about Jesus. The Bible says that all things were created through him, by him, and for him. You think about that. You think about how much he loves us. You think about before the virgin birth, there was a time when the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit stood there. And it was just about to happen. It was just about to happen where Jesus was going to go from all splendor, all glory, all majesty, because he's not just a person, the ultimate power along with the Father. And he was going to go and live in a lady, live in Mary. Can we actually gasp that? Can we actually gasp what he gave up to take on? He come down to live in a lady with sin in her body, with a sinful nature. From all of that. And it wasn't just the Father who said, go. Jesus actually agreed to go. We have to get that. Quite often people say, oh, the Father gave him up. Yes, no, but Jesus agreed. Jesus wanted that too. And he went to be born a little baby, to be born like from all up there in the most magnificent like thing you can think of to down here to walk the walk. To take on a body. He never had a human body before. We need to get this. People say he still has scars in his hands. I don't know if that's fact, but I've heard many credible stories. He gave up all that to take on this. And die, be punished, be beaten, be mocked, have all these disgusting things done to him, because it was not just a man on that cross. It was just not a man. It was actually the Creator. Because my Bible says that all things were created by him and for him. And then he died. Then he rose again and took that body with him. That's how we are actually his brother. Because he now relates to us, because he has a body and we have a body. That's why we can be called brothers and sisters. Because he come down to take on what we have to save us and to go back to there to be able to relate to all our weaknesses, all our problems, and to be able to save us once and for all. No law, once and for all. Because people were bound by the law, but this is what we also, this is what we don't realize. God was bound by it. God was bound by the law. These things were in place, what had to be a certain way, and if they weren't, you're in big trouble. Would have been horrible. Would have really been horrible. And God was bound by it. To what degree, I don't know, but it's definitely a degree there. So you think about when Jesus went back up to sit at the right hand of the Father, us as Christians can go, oh, we can rest. But I reckon the Father rested too. I honestly do. I honestly reckon he just ran, oh, it's done. It's done. Once they're my son, they're coming to me. And that is sealed and set in place by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's not just a man. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is completely trustworthy. He knows everything. He knows your innermost thoughts. He knows how much you believe in him. He knows how much you love him. He knows if you agree with hell or not. He knows every single thing that's going on inside of you. I need to, and you need to, go to that place and be willing to work through it in a healthy way. Whenever you see anything, don't be scared of it. Don't be scared of it. When you see it, don't go, oh, how could I be like that? Or bad me, or don't let guilt in or shame in. When you see it, say it, I see it now. He saw it 10 years ago. More. And bring it to him. And bring it to him. There might be parts of you, don't be surprised, and I'll say this. There might be parts of you who actually hate things about God, yet you won't acknowledge it to him. Don't, honestly, I know what happens. Don't be scared if you start to see stuff like that. But don't be scared of it. Bring it to him. Talk about it with him. You might see that you don't believe as much as you say you do. Bring it to him. God, I see that I just don't fully believe in you. Bring it to him. There's a scripture in Mark 9:24 in the man's, he says to the Lord, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. We need to be like that. Because I've learned when you become born again, you have this beautiful experience, but then you go through some turmoil and life comes at you and starts to expose some stuff. That's a good thing that it's being exposed, but it will stay there unless you deal with it. Unless you deal with it. And you deal with it through what? One, acknowledging who can fix it. Then what do you do? I'm sorry to go over this and over this, but I will do what I need to do. Then what we do? You will take it to him. And say those things that are really hard to say. God, I've learnt in this. If I was to say, what doesn't God like? He doesn't like you beating around the bush. Doesn't like it. It just doesn't like it. I don't get as much healing if I beat around the bush. Oh, but God, I kind of despise you. Or I only do because of this and this and this. I don't even go there. Just say it as you see it. Say it as you see it. He'll be the judge of all that. He will be the judge of all that. That's all we need to know. If we attempt to struggle with these things without God, we will only strengthen them. Very interesting thing. It's what a lot of Christians do. We get this thought. It's not there. Or I rebuke you or this or that or rah-de-rah-de-rah. And it actually, like, it makes them stronger. That's what I've learnt with my walk. I went through this time in my life, right? And I was getting all these just yucky thoughts. Like, really, just, yeah. Yucky thoughts. It was horrible. It was really horrible. And I used to think, how could I get that vision in my head? How could I get that thought in my head? How could I get this picture in my head? And I'd go to this person and confess it to them and went to counselling and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all these sort of things, and getting a healing to a degree. And didn't actually do that much. Didn't actually do that much. Because when I got the thought, and this is only for my problem, which I was going through. You can't relate this to yourself. It could be if you're going through it, what you're going through. Right, but it doesn't necessarily mean this is it, right, for you. What I worked out was when I got the thought, I was taking ownership of it and I was causing anxiety, frustration, confusion, guilt, poor me, pity, etc., etc. And I was actually thinking on the thought more than I had to. So when you think on something, what happens? It keeps coming. It keeps, you know, coming. And I thought I was doing the right thing because I was, okay, that thought's there. Lord, please take these thoughts away. I don't want them. They're horrible. They hurt. I'm sorry. And then it hit me one day. Damien, stop acknowledging and giving these thoughts anything. And so when I'd get a thought, it would come and I'd hear it and I'd just let it go. Or I'd get a vision in my head, it would come and I'd hear it and I'd just let it go. And I would not allow anything negative off that thought or vision in my head. Anything. Nothing at all. It was just like, here, gone. See, gone. Here, gone. See, gone. Nothing in here. And I'd check myself and I'd prepare myself and it would come and I'd just keep myself at peace. And it was almost like I was going, ah. And what it started to do was strengthen me. So whether or not it was the devil or whatever, I don't know. I don't need to know. I don't even care, right? But whatever was coming at me was actually strengthening me. Because it was causing me to not be frustrated or not have fear of anything that came into my mind. Because they were tormenting me. And it would come and I would just be like, whatever. Nothing in here. And I started to notice so quickly, honestly, within like, massive short amount of time, they got less and 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 less. Off that one thing. Off that one thing. We need to get this. We need to be satisfied Christians. And we need to acknowledge when we're not. We need to know that God is just absolutely for us and in love with us. And he's got our best interest at heart and he chose us. He chose us to be his children who he dramatically is just in love with. Overwhelmingly in love with. Just like these guys are with their little bubbies. Who they have the privilege of raising and bringing up in the Lord. But that privilege is really serious. Really serious. I've seen too many teenagers fall away because either their parents were hypocrites or their parents didn't guide them and teach them properly. In the Word. The Bible says to bring your children up in the Lord. You've got to see that scripture and bring it back here and say, don't just tell them that scripture. How do I achieve that scripture? And that opens up a massive can of worms. That actually opens up something very big on how do I cause my child, when they get to around their teenager years, to say, I naturally respect and honour my mother and father. They are genuine and sincere. They have taught me about the Lord without hypocrisy. And I will serve him all the days of my life because they have set a great foundation. We need to do that. I need to do that. And there's many different things that we need to do to achieve that. But it's all possible. It's all about who we become. If I can leave you with one thing today, you ask yourself for that. Who am I becoming in here? Who is Damien Richard G? How much do I really love God? We all need to. We don't pretend to love God any more than we do because he sees it all anyway. Judge that off the evidence of what you see in your life in a healthy way. And you will be set free. When you see your weaknesses, you will learn to rejoice. Because now you see. Now you see. So I'm going to leave it at that, everybody. I think I was a bit short. Was I a bit short? I don't know.
No, you're tall.
Yeah, tall. But no, I hope you've got something out of that. That was real to my life. And I just really ask that you go to that place. If you can't relate to it, then I'm sure, yeah, try to.
No, that's good. Thanks, David. Look, we're just going to pray for you. It was such a good word and a real encouraging word. I mean, we've all been going on a journey. Well, Sally and I have been going on a journey. And life can get really, as parents, this is for you guys, young parents, life can get really, really busy and challenges can come every day of your life. And what you do, you end up, it's very easily to start focusing this way. Our relationship with our kids, our wives, our friends, our work colleagues and all that. And we forget about this relationship. And we try to do it on our own strength because blokes, we're Mr. Fix-Its. And we try and we do and we do and we... And then all of a sudden there's cracks appearing in our relationships. We've got to get this relationship right before we can even start really maintaining and trying to fix anything. And we're going on this journey. We have to get that right personally, just for ourselves. Sally's over there, I'm over here, and we've got to get this right. And that's what I got out of that message, and it's so good. We've got to be real to who we are. Can't be religious people. Jesus didn't like religious people. And we just want to be real. And this guy here, he deals with the reality of the world every day with hundreds of blokes that are struggling with a lot of things. And the only way that that him and Peter and the crew there at Shalom deal with these people is to be real. And I just take my hat off to you. You've spent, 7 or 8 years with Peter there at the start, and I know the struggles that you guys have because they share with me, Brad and all that, they share a lot of stuff with me, and I just want to just pray a blessing on you and plus protection on you and everything else. So let's just stretch out our hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up Damien to you right now. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your message that he delivered today. Lord, I pray that we just don't leave these walls, Lord, saying, wow, what a great message, and then go to our normal lives. But, Lord, I pray that we take this message and use it to equip our lives. Lord, I lift up Damien right now. I lift up his children to you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you will bless him as a father. And, Lord, I pray that you'll bless that relationship in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will equip him every day dealing with these men at Shalom. Lord, I pray that, Lord, let him see with your eyes, let him hear with your ears, and let him speak with your heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for his word today. And we pray that blessing upon him. Let this Christmas be the best Christmas he has ever had, knowing that he knows the real reason for the season. Hallelujah. And we just pray that in Jesus' name. We all said,
amen.